So today was the yard site of the Noam Elimelech, so it's very appropriate that tonight, even though it's over, to continue with the Noam Elimelech. This will be the last installment of the Noam Elimelech. I don't know what we're doing next. I haven't thought about it just yet. But we'll continue on these topics. We'll probably only have next week, and 2 weeks is right before Pesach, so I don't think it's a good idea for anyone. Certainly not for, well, a few springers are going away, so you. But in 2 weeks. We'll have next week. The 2 weeks we will not have. So let's learn through now the tzetel katan I referenced last week. Tzetel katan, which means the small note. There was a small note written by the Noam Elimelech, 21 ideas that we'll go through that he thought people should know and study every day, if not every day, pretty regularly. It's a bit intense. It's not really meant for us. A lot of the stuff nowadays, maybe it should have been, but we can't meet all these things, and you'll see what I mean. But at least we could get a view inside the mind of Noam Elimelech to who he was and what type of standards he had and what one should really keep in mind. So as we go through this, it reminds me of there's a siman in Shulchan Aruch Or HaChaim, the end of Chelek Beis. It's known like the hidden siman a person shouldn't look at. It's, I think, Reish Mem Beis. It talks about Hilchos Tznius. So one of the things we say, do not look at Hilchos Tznius. It's not for us. We're not on those levels of that type of Kiddush and the Precious they had. So the Tzetel Katan, to a certain extent, you'll see, is a bit extreme for us. But again, don't take it too hard for yourself, but take it to understand who the Noam Elimelech was and the types of chassidim that he produced. We have one page here, the two sides. I only copied two sides. It goes to 21. I'm not going through all 21. I'm not going to probably go through the 14 here either. We'll get whatever we get through now, and we'll decide whether we should continue it next week or do something else next week. Okay, look at number Aleph, or letter Aleph. B'chol eis v'rega shehu panoi min haTorah. Every moment a person is not learning. And shehu yoshev batel levado b'cheder, he's sitting by himself in the room, he's thinking, he's meditating. O shochev al mitaso, he's lying down in bed. Ve'no yachol lishan, and he's not able to fall asleep. So we were taught, little kids, you should count sheep jumping over your head. See, it's a slightly different idea. At the end, remind me, before we move on, I'll confess what I think about in my mind, but Veino Yachol Lishon, what are you supposed to do? Yehiem Mehayer B'milos Aseizu. You should think about the following words, the following mitzvahs Asei. Shel V'niktashti B'soch B'nei Yisrael. Think of those words that we're supposed to sanctify Hashem's name in public. V'yidma B'nafsho, a person should imagine himself. Now, this gets a little bit extreme. V'yitzayer B'machshavaso, and create an image in his mind. Ki'ilu eish gadol v'nora bor lefanov, that there's a massive fire burning in front of him, aleva shemaim, until the heart of shemaim, pretty strong, pretty high up. V'hu b'shvil kedushas Hashem yizbarach shover es tivo, to Kadosh Baruch Hu is breaking the nature, umapil es atmol l'ha'esh ha'kiddush Hashem yizbarach, and imagine yourself being thrown in or jumping in to this massive fire that you've created in front of yourself. Umachshava tova HaKadosh Baruch Hu mitzar filamaisa. We know when it comes, the Chazal tell us that if a Yid has a machshava tova, even though he doesn't follow through with the maisa, the machshava tova is kilu he did the maisa. So by thinking of these thoughts of Kiddush Hashem v'nikdashti b'soch b'nei Yisrael, it's as if we actually jumped into the fire, the shame of Kiddush Hashem. V'nimsa she'eno shochei v'yoshei bato. What's the point of this? Because now you're sitting down in the room doing nothing. You're too exhausted to learn. You're tired, but you just can't fall asleep. So now you're not doing anything. You're not doing nothing. You're doing something. You're being machshava of Kiddush Hashem. And this way you're not eino shochei v'yoshei batel rak mekai mitzvah asei derai. So that's a pretty intense way to fall asleep. Maybe we'll try it tonight to see if it works. I wonder what type of dreams you have during the night. Who knows what Ruach HaKodesh maybe you'll be zolcha to. But maybe everyone should give it a shot. I'll tell you in my mind what I think about. You know, when I was trained this way, it was I guess somewhat unfortunate that when we used to ride the bus for basketball games, our coach said to us, sit in the seat and imagine, listen to music. I used to listen to whatever music I listened to. Maybe one person here knows. I listened to some music, fine. I know last week, Reverend Weinberger had no problem sharing some of the music he used to listen to. Though I never knew lyrics well. What?
Yeah. More of
current. I don't know current. I mean, 20 years ago. I don't know if it's still. But I think his songs people knew more than the songs I'm going to mention. Plus, I don't know lyrics. I never knew lyrics. I still don't know. So, Okay. You're really pressing here. You might have to better off getting Mikey to tell you then. Fine, Dave Matthews and Metallica, all right, guys?
They played together, right?
So the coaches told us, you know, when you're riding to the game, always imagine yourself taking a shot, you know, outside shot or scoring or stealing, doing some move. And if you can imagine it in your mind, so then it's going to become part of you. It's not wasting time. You're not just sitting there looking into space. You're actually creating some images in your mind. So now whenever I find myself just sitting, like, doing nothing, my mind just gravitates to me taking a layup or something, or taking a three-point shot. It's very, very strange. So we should try to now really train ourselves to think of this huge fire and jumping into that fire. That's our goal. Okay, Oz Beis. B'pasuk rishon shel kriyas shema, when you say the first pasuk of Shema, u'bracha rishona shel shmona esrei, you should, when you say the first bracha of Shemoneh Esrei, Yehara Kanal, you should think of that same idea as well. That's very, very hard. Now all the poskim say, just think of the pashtus of the dvarim, just think of the taitch of the word, that's all. We don't try to think of any deep thoughts. Even the people with Siddurim, the Svardim, or if you have a Nisach Ari, where all the Shemosh Hashem all over the place, it gets very, very confusing to follow along. If you're very, very good, fine, but most of us are not capable of doing that, so this is not something I would suggest, to try to think of a huge fire while saying Shema in the first bracha. If you can, great. But the Ode, Yechavin im yana eskol umas ha'olam, it's referring to a non-Jew, b'chol inuyim kashim, and have in mind, if a non-Jew were to come really beat a person and give him all these different afflictions, v'ifshatu oro mibsaro, and to skin him like Rabbi Akiva experienced, l'hachish chas v'shalom b'yichudo yisbol kol yisurim, to try to weaken you from the yichud Hashem, from your connection to Hashem, you should really be able to be sovel all this, to be handle all this, all these yisurim, v'lo yodu lehem, and don't give in to them, chas v'shalom, v'yitzayir b'dayto machshavaso kilu osin lo kanal, and again, imagine you're jumping to the fire, they're skinning you, all these crazy things, again, this is very, very extreme, of course. I'm not recommending this. I'm just telling you what the Noam Elimelech felt was necessarily for him and his Talmidim to think about every single day. Again, it's common. I think here in this book, in Pnine Elimelech, Noam Elimelech, it has an introduction here, has a nice translation of the Tzetzer Katan. He actually says he didn't want to translate all of them because some of them are a bit intense. So he only translated a 15 or so of them. He skipped some. But he does say here that I think the Hasidim would regularly read this. It was normal to read this as part of their daily routine. So he says, I'm looking for this line here. I'm going to read the whole thing. Why not? It says, Tzeta HaKatan means small pamphlet. For almost 200 years, the learning and recitation of this small pamphlet was a Hasidic devotion. However, to fulfill all the teachings found in the Tzeta Tot today might seem almost impossible, like we're already seeing the first two. We have therefore selected those teachings that we felt were more important and relevant for those who wish to practice Hasidus in our generation, for those who wish to attempt to learn and fulfill them. It is also worthwhile studying the Tzeta as an insight, a mirror to the that reflects the life of the Rebbe and his followers. Through it we can see just how high and exalted a spiritual level the Rebbe and his Hasidim achieved. Even in our lowly generation, which cannot hope to fulfill all these ideas found in the Tzeta Katam, this small pamphlet gives us a glimpse into the lives of the saintly early founders of the Hasidic movement, Rebbes who lived by Rebbe Elimelech's words and fulfilled them. It can also inspire us to strive to come closer to Hashem and perhaps to one day reach a level of understanding where these concepts do not seem so foreign and so far beyond our grasp, but rather as ideas and customs to live by. So he quotes the Biyana Chassid by the name of Rav Ben Sion Rachman, who once explained that the title Tzeto Katan implies that whoever learns a Tzeto becomes Katan. It makes a person humble. So that's the idea here. So again, these things are quite intense. They're not meant for us to take on, but just really an insight in who the Noam Elimelech was. Os Gimel, this idea is actually, we're about to see, goes very much against a lot of other Hasidic writings. Over time, things have evolved. What we're about to see doesn't seem very Hasidus, but things have changed. There was a time where Hasidus was based on precious separation, jumping into iced over lakes, Nowadays, we don't preach that at all. We say the opposite. You're supposed to enjoy this world, engage in this world, and think of different kavanas. So this is really the opposite of where we're holding now. But we'll read it anyways. Oz Gimel. Gam b'shas achila v'zivug yichavin kanal. During the time of eating, zivug is referring to marital relations. A person should have kavana above as well. Imagine while a person's eating during zivug to have these ideas of a fire, jumping in a fire. When a person begins to feel a certain physical enjoyment, he should think of that big fire. He should say, he should try to ignore all the physical enjoyments and say that he's enjoying the simcha of being mekayim in the mitzvah of jumping in a fire. Okay. And Hamargashas Tanu Gashmi has there. Shumat Tsaras Mashcha Dechaya. I'm not sure what that's referring to. It's some Kabbalistic terminology I'm not familiar with. The Kach Yomar, and this is what he should say. The Rai Ladavar. She Yosa Yelotainig Vesimcha Basias Mitzase Shavanikdashi Vofen Hanal. He has greater enjoyment of fulfilling Kiddush Hashem than he has of any physical enjoyment. Shafilu hayuchotvin oso, even if they were to hit him and beat him, rotschim beemsa achila v'ziva glasulah hanavim kashim. During eating, during zivig, they're going to afflict him. Ha'isim esamech etzatzmo al kiddush Hashem yisbarach yosim itana gashmi hazeh. That's the most enjoyment he wants. Ach yizahir sheyehe dover beemes belvavo. A person should be very sincere and honest. Don't make up who you are. Meaning, az b'shas ma'isa taku al luach libo. You should have it in printed in your heart. B'tochios, which is lashon atoch, inside upnimiyos halev b'emes gamor. You should be honest if you're really at that level. Not everyone. I mean, who nowadays is at this level? But you have to be honest. Don't pretend you're someone who you're not. Lo yishates atzma lios kigonev das elyona chas v'sham. Don't say to Hashem, "Oh, I'm such a great person. I'm thinking of this big fire, or I'm having a nice piece of steak." You have to be honest if you're at that level or you're not at that level. So obviously, this is something that we don't preach. It's not something that we can live up to. This is, you know, anything. We would never share this to a chassan and a chassan shmuz. This is everything against what we'd share with him at a chassan shmuz. Now, a chassan shmuz, you tell the chassan how Kadosh Baruch Hu created things in this world for us to enjoy. It's a special relationship. It comes closer to a wife, closer to Kadosh Baruch Hu. This is the furthest thing we would ever share with a chassan. And anyone, for that matter, this is not an idea, an approach that we have. I have a set of notes that some Rabbanim put together on Chassan Shmuzim and Chassan classes, and one of the things they have there, I never spoke to Rav Weinberger about this directly, but in these notes, they quote Rav Weinberger saying, the Kavana a person should have during Shas Zivug is simply that a person that we thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for allowing such a good Gashmi, such a physical enjoyment in this world. And that's the Pashut Kavana Rav Weinberger apparently suggests very much against this Noam Elimelech. Not because he's against Noam Elimelech, simply because we live in a different, very different generation now than was a couple hundred years ago. Okay, Oz Dalad. The fourth idea that he has here in the Teta HaKatan is Bechol HaDvarim Sheba Olam Hein B'Torah Hein B'Tfila. All matters in the world, whether it's davening, learning, Hein B'Mitzvos Miasios Yargil Asmo, the person should make regular Lomer Bezel Lashon Hareini Osezos L'Shem Yuchud Kuchibruchu V'Shchinte Lasez Nachas Ruach Laboris Baruch Shemo. This is the idea of a Yuchud, right? L'Shem Yuchud. The Yargil Asmo Lomer Zos B'Tochios B'Pnimos Alev, to say with Kavana, with the depth and feeling. U'Behem Shechazman Yargish Ha'ara Gedola Me'Amirazu. You're going to feel some strong light, some powerful light from saying this Shem Yuchud. Now, obviously, we know that Noda Behuda is very much against this. I think I shared this with you, maybe the first share, the introduction, that my chavrusa and my roommate in Hakotel, Binyamin Landa, was a Ben Acher Ben, a direct descendant of the Noda Behuda. So Rabina, the Rosh Hashiva, went over to him and said, you should not be saying L'Shem Yichud because your great-great Yerzaidi was very much against this. It's now Kamat found in every single Siddur, of course. Anyone here, you don't have to raise your hands, but I think most people say L'Shem Yichud at least for Talis and Tefillin. We don't say for anything else usually because we just forget to. It's not part of our natural routine, but you really should say L'Shem Yichud. How many people said L'Shem Yichud before Kriyas Megillah? We don't think about it. I remember Weinberg was saying it for a couple of minutes, and then I'm like, oh no, where's my L'Shem Yichud? I didn't have one. But you should say, again, you know, it's pretty much the minhag across the world to say L'Shem Yichud before performing all mitzvahs. Okay, Oseh. Kishavana, most what? Haggadah. And the Haggadah has it, but not the... Not all, most.
The older ones, for sure.
The Maxwell ones do not have it. Don't they? Fine. Oseh. Kishayaschil his orebo midaram. This now gets very interesting. The person begins to have some midara, kas, see, certain feeling of anger, chas v'shalom. Mimidas raos shu ragil behem, that he was one of his bad midos that he's used to having. Kigon akshanus, he's very stubborn. Ubosha shagaiva. Now, bosha shagaiva is a very interesting formulation here. Bosha shagaiva means embarrassment of humility. Now, I really didn't know how to attach this, what that meant, what type of bad midah. It was describing, so here he says, he describes it in the Sefer as false humility. So I was reminded of a statement of the Golda Meir once said to some minister, I don't know who it was, she said to him, stop being so humble, you're not so great. So, you know, people try to pretend they're so humble sometimes because they're so great, so that's like fake humility. So, what? Okay, shkoyach. So, the bosha shagaya means don't have false humility, the atlas and laziness, ubala and doing nothing, which hamevili deishimim leads to boredom, boredom leads to terrible averas. The kayotibahem, all these bad midos, what should a person do? He starts to feel these bad midos boiling, brewing inside him. Yomer tekef, he should say right away, miyad, bezeh lashon, ubekochoch, very interesting. He should say with all his might, with all his koach in the mouth, Hakanani, Hachiti, Hamori, Aprizi, Hachivi, Vaivusi, Vargigashi, and that's a segula v'yinatza. He's going to be saved from that midah. I've never heard this before. If you say these nations, these seven nations, the Shiva Amimim, you're going to be saved. I assume the idea behind it is because the Shiva Amimim are the source of all midos raos. Amalek, for example, is the source of Gaiva, the source of Sveikas. Amalek is the Rishon of all the Koach HaTumah, and all these other nations are the, I guess, subcategories of different midos raos. So he says, if you say these words, Haknani, Achiti, Hamori, Aprizi, Achivi, Vaibusi, Vagigashi, you will be protected from any of these midos raos from actually actualizing. The Yargilas Asma, a person should regulate himself, Litzamtein Riyaso, from minimizing what he sees, his vision. Shalol Estakel Chutz L'Dal Amos, not to look beyond his own Dal Amos. Afilu B'Yosef B'Beisu, even in his own home, he shouldn't look outside his Dal Amos. U'Befrat B'Beis HaKnesses, U'Becheder Shalomed. And in particular, in the shul, he shouldn't be distracted. In the place he learns, he should not be distracted either. Just look down and focus on your own Dal Amos. B'Derech Hilucho, as he walks, B'Chutz, he walks outside, who bizdamein lefan of Isha, afil Isha, if a woman, even if it's his own wife, walks in front of him, ubanav haktanim v'giyotze, yitzar lefanav einav Hashem, aleph dalid nun yud. A person should try to always imagine that image of aleph dalid nun yud in front of them. This way you're protected from everything that you see. Now this is a very, very high level. Shvisi Hashem l'gineg nektambe, the person should always have Hashem Hashem in front of them. It's not an easy thing to really imagine Aleph, Dal, Nun, Yud, or Yud, Kei, Vav, Kei in front of you as you walk. But that's the idea he was trying to impress upon the Hasidim. Okay. Let's do Ozvav now. Ozvav, he writes, Kishiyava lo chas v'shalom machshava ra mi niyuf. A person chas v'shalom has a bad ra to be involved in niyuf. Yomer kam epamim, a person should say the following words. Nishmarta mikol davara. That's what you should say. Nishmarta mikol davara. Hashem, you should protect me from all evil. And that's the segula for being protected from that type of machshava ra. The harer as bedrashos chazal. Then he should start thinking of the drashos of chazal. Shedarsholav. They said shlo yehayer adam biyom v'yavol lidei kari belayla gemara in brachos. A person shouldn't think of that. V'leaniach chas v'shalom lishos hamachshava ra b'mocho and should have the bad machshava to leave the mind, shlo litamos shei secha elyom chas v'sham. So that's a segula for a machshava ra niyuf. O Zion, kishiyavo chas v'sham liyado bizdamnus kinegdo histaklus ra chas v'sham. The person starts seeing something inappropriate in front of him. What's an example? Could go in behema chaya of shiniskakin zelaze. If they're mating, animals are mating. A tefach megula beisha b'makom ervo, or inappropriate part of the body is exposed. So then, obitzurat ishta nido, or his own wife, sees an image of his wife when she's benida. The kiyotzi behen, Yomar Tekef Umiyad Apostle, you should say the words, Velos Asur Achare Levavchem, and through that, Vloy Tamis Sichlo Chas Hashem, not to contaminate the mind. So these are different schools, he said, when people were struggling with certain Machshavos Ros. Os Chesna. Yargios Atzmo, Shelo Yaschil Ladavar, Lushim Adam, Zulas the Tzarach, Gadol Hahechrechla. A person should make himself regular, that he should not he should only speak to a person when necessary. A person when speaking, even when there's a need to speak very, very short and terse, which means to be sifted in three different sifters, really be careful in the word choices. There shouldn't be any sheker. Chas v'sham. Someone recently came to me and told me, I don't know who the parties are, and I don't want to know who the parties are, so I don't want to say the exact story in case someone knows who the parties are here, but he was telling me, he was stressing a particular situation where a mother was bragging to a friend of hers how the mother's daughter got a great deal on something. I don't want to give. And how'd she get a great deal? Because she had lied to the salesperson about a certain situation she was in. It was not true at all. And she gave her a great deal on it. And she told her mother. And the mother was so proud that her daughter lied and got a great deal. And she was bragging to all the friends. So there's a story someone told me 2 weeks ago. So he said, I think the shul needs everyone. But he thought the shul maybe needs some joshua, some musr on speaking emes, the idea of emes. We know many stories about emes, a lot of good stories of emes. You know, the famous story about speaking the truth is when the kid comes home from school, he's got in trouble because he cheated on a test or something, and they're busy. He's sitting at the table with his parents. His parents are giving him a musr and disciplining him, and then there's a phone call, and the other kid says, there's a phone call. He says, tell them I'm not home. So, of course, it trickles down from the parents down to the children. So that's one idea of emes and sheker, which has to be strengthened. So, again, a person when speaking, to be so careful not to say any lie, chas v'shalom. V'shum chanufa, and no type of flattery. V'shum lashon hara, v'rechilus, gossip and lashon hara. V'shum halbanas panim, not to embarrass anyone. V'lo shum haraos ma'isav, livnei adam, v'yargiz atzma b'chlal, shem v'chazal, limur lashon chalomar in yodeo. So a person should also know how to say, I don't know, to be humble and say he's not aware of certain things. There's a story Rabbi Noble told me a couple of years ago, I think I shared this once in Shul, that the Brisker Rav, when he was appointed to be Dayan of Brisk, he was among other Dayanim that were there. And everyone knows the Brisker Rav, since he was a little boy, he was a tremendous Eloy. One of the stories they said about him, that when he'd come home, he would go through the window at the back of the house to come into the house. He wouldn't walk through the front door. Why? Because Rav Chaim, his father, would learn, and there's a very small house, probably one room. So his father would be learning in the main entranceway, and when the Brisker Rav would walk in, his own father, Rav Chaim, would stand up for the Brisker Rav. And the Brisker Rav felt that it was uncomfortable for him. It could be a Shaila and Gemara Kedushin as well, whether that should be done or not. So he would climb through the window so his father wouldn't stand up for him. So he was a tremendous Eloy. So when the Brisker Rav was appointed to be one of the Dayanim in Brisk, everyone was very, very excited to see, you know, what type of a Brisker Torah he's going to have and bring to the table. So they had the first Din Torah, the Brisker Rav and two other Dayanim, who were older Dayanim, and whatever case was presented, and the Brisker Rav sitting there and just observing. And the two Dayanim are going at it, and going at it, arguments this way, that way, Svarot, Katzos, and Esivis, Shulchan Aruch, Hashach, and the Brisker Rav just sitting there quietly. So they said to him, "Sanu, Ravelvo, you have something to say?" He says, "No, I have nothing, no input. No, you guys are doing great." So they gave whatever psak they gave and moved on to the second case. And then same thing happened again. They said, "Well, what's going on? We heard all these wonderful things about the Brisker Rav." Third case again, he said, I have no input. You guys are really know what you're talking about, the Shach and the Taz. I've got nothing to say." After the third time, they said, something's going on here. It's been three times in a row. What exactly is going on that you're not sharing with us some of your svar or some of your ideas? So he said, in order to be a dayan, you have to first create a chazaka that you're capable of saying, I don't know. If you're not able to say, I don't know, then you can't be a dayan. You have too much pride for yourself. I tell people, if you go to a certain posek, I'm not anyone, but say, if you have a posek that will never say, I don't know, he's never willing to say, let me get back to you, unless he's a Rav Shechter. If he's anything less than that, he never tells you, I don't know, let me get back to you, I wouldn't trust that guy. He has to be willing to say, I don't know. Otherwise, he has too much pride. He won't ever admit he doesn't know the answer. So the ability, that's what he says here, you have to teach yourself to say, I don't know. There's a great Rashi in the beginning of Maseches Brachos. There's a certain word, he says, I don't know what it means. And the Gilyan HaShasta, Rabbi Kiv Eger, quotes like 20 other places throughout Shas and Chumash, where Rashi says, I don't know what it means. What's the idea? Because Rashi also, he wrote a Sefer, he wrote a Perish. Would anyone write a Sefer and say, I don't know, if you don't know the answer, just don't put it in there, just leave it out, just ignore it. The fact that he said, I don't know, he was accustomed to saying, I don't know the answer. It's okay. Not only is it okay, it's necessary to say the words, I don't know, when you really, in fact, don't know.
So I once asked Rabbi Feinstein a question in Chumash, and he said, I don't know. A couple of days later, I got a phone call from Rabbi Feinstein with the answer.
Very nice. He looked into it. Yeah, that's who he's quoting from, yeah. Yeah. Okay, let's finish this Oschas here, and then maybe we'll do one more. He says now, Kishimidabrin, the end of Oschas, a love, B'nei Adam, Asher Ein Nizhar Miladabr Dvarim B'telim. Let's say you are involved in a conversation, you're among people who are not careful about speaking wasteful words. Yashmin is atma mehem, you should try to avoid them, the kokocho as much as you can, and all your different efforts. We're not able to lishamit, if you just can't avoid them. Be very terse with them, be short and brief. Just only answer what you have to, you know, one word answers, like when we talk to your mother in law, just one word answers, nothing more than that. Just be very brief and sorry about that, and be very brief in order to end the conversations. Ostes, let's do one more. Yargios atzmo tekef umeyad. A person should be very, very careful. This is something I assume we all do. When a person wakes up, kishiyis orer mishnasa, when he wakes up early in the morning or whatever time he wakes up, yomer moda ani l'fanecha me'achay v'kayom shechazarta b'nishmasi b'chemla rabe munasecha. That's what we should say first thing when we wake up. I assume, again, that's something simple that if we're not doing, we should be doing. V'yomer afilu b'lashon ashkenaz. You could say it even in the language you understand, German or English. B'lev sameach, very happy. Baruch Kel Elyon, Asher Nosan Li Mitzvah Tzitzis, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave me the Mitzvah of Tzitzis, Asher Ani Mesoveh Behen, that I'm surrounded by Mitzvahs, U'mitzvahs Nitzias Yadayim, Shachris Lahavi Ruach Ra, to wash my hands, to get rid of any of the evil spirits on my hands, that Klipa Akashim, Me'al Shtei Yadayim Sheli, and to remove all the Klipas that are in my hands, the Yira Sheyehel Libo Malei Simcha Be'omer Kanal, and you should say, not just to wake up all groggy and say, Modeh Ani L'vanecha, but to say modani with a tremendous amount of simcha, and to put tzitzis on with simcha, and to wash your hands with simcha, and then accept upon yourself to use your words carefully, be brief and terse when speaking. Should we do one more?
Yeah.
One more. Yudalf, it goes quick. One more, and then we'll stop really after this one. And we'll do the rest, Mirtz Hashem, next week then. Os Yudalf. Yargil tzatzmo lispalel b'chol kocho, ubekol ha-me'orer ha-kavan. I skipped Yud. I'm skipping Yud. Yeah, I'm skipping Yud, yeah. Yud Aleph. Yargil tz'atmo lespalil b'chol koch. A person should daven with all his strength. Ubekol ha-me'orer ha-kavana lidabik b'achshava lidibur. With a sound that's going to really wake him up, to inspire him, to connect his thought to his speech. Upanav el ha-kosel, and his face towards the wall. Besocha siddur hatfila, inside the siddur, baboker b'erev, in the morning, the afternoon, the evening. Lo yistakil tzadin, he shouldn't look to the side. Mitchilas hatfila ad sofer, from the beginning until the end. Just really look forward. Ubechazar sachatz, right, the Mishnah Berurah talks about different shuckling. Shucklings, different people have to shuckle a lot, shuckle softly. All types of shucklings are all fine, based on the Zohar, a person shakes, the excitement of tfila. The one type of shuckling the Mishnah Berurah says you can't do is derech gaiva. Person goes like this, side to side. That's the only type of shuckle you cannot do. That's derech gaiva. You shouldn't look to the side. You should be focused in the front. Focused, that's still considered focus, which is not side to side. And then he says, and not only that, but chazaras hashatz, hashulchanayim v'ashmona esrei, yayin b'sidr l'anos amein b'chol kocho akol bracha bracha. You see, a lot of Rabbanim do this. I know Rav Willig is very mocked on this. He, during Chazaras HaShatz, He stands there with the sitter and follows along word for word and says amen to every single one. In our shul, you know, does it very well? Dr. Goldman. Dr. Arnie Goldman does it very well. He pays attention to every... others could also. I just know he. I noticed. He, you know, every single word, he follows along Chazar Tashat, no matter how, you know, ADD we might be, and just that we've heard this before, and, you know, we're losing concentration. It's a very beginning. Chazar Tashat in particular, based on the Arizal, Chazar Tashat is a very, very big deal. It's not just Stam and Inyan. It's really a very, very big deal. That's actually one of the reasons why, although the Mishnah Berurah is against people changing Tefillin Rabbeinu Tam during Chazar Tashat, based on the Arizal, there's a lot of good reason to change it during Chazar Tashat in order to chap that you're wearing Rabbeinu Tam Tefillin during Chazar Tashat. There is a big connection between those two. The Mishnah Berurah was not very fond of this, again, because it distracts your paying attention to Chazar Tashat. So what they say is, when a person's putting Rabbeinu Tam on, even though normally we say, don't be mafsik between Shayat and Sharosh, when it comes to answering Amen, that you are allowed to be mafsik between Shayat and Sharosh.
Did he wear Rabbeinu Tam Tefillin?
Who? Mishnah Berurah?
When you mentioned that he didn't like it.
I don't know if the Mishnah Berurah did. I'm not sure. My guess is he probably didn't, because he probably couldn't afford it. He really had nothing. They had no money. And that type of the halacha is you only buy Rabbeinu Tam if you could really afford it. So but I don't know for sure. I don't know. I don't remember seeing anywhere that he did or didn't. Let's finish this piece here now. And Ubashas Kriyas HaTorah. Lahatos Ozno al Kol Dibor VeDibor Me'akorei. You should pay attention to every single word of Kriyas HaTorah, just like Kikorei Esa Megillah. V'lasos Es Asmo Ki'ilem Me'beis HaKnesses, as if you are mute, as if you can't speak. You shouldn't say a word during shul, during davening. Afilu Kodma Tefila, even before davening. V'acharei, and afterwards, Ad Alichaso Lebeis. So.
Not like Shemoneh Esrei. What do you mean? When you say Shemoneh
Esrei,
you should be looking in your papers or your Daf Yomi or whatever else you all tend to do during that quote-unquote free time.
Correct.
But since he's putting it in the same paragraph with Yilalov, is he saying that